This
Everybody's ready. You have a
conference will
quorum,
now be
Kevin?
recorded.
We can start, Tony.
Great. So I'll call the meeting to order and ask that we, Alex, do you need to do a roll call?
Probably would be good since we're just doing this recording via audio. So we'll just do a quick, very quick roll call. Tony Sheridan?
Here.
Mike Long?
Here.
Mary Ellen Jones?
Here.
Brett Rauchuk?
Here.
Treasurer Wooden?
Here.
Commissioner Giulietti?
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Thames?
Present.
Aaron Jarmak?
Here.
Bob Aronson?
Here.
Matt Kelly?
Present.
Scott Gilmartin?
Here.
I think we're all set.
Very good. So thank you all for joining us on such short notice. But this, as you can imagine, and you'll hear about it in a minute, is a very important meeting. There are some decisions, serious decisions, that have to be made. And with that, I'm going to ask Kevin to start by giving us an overview.
Sure. As you're aware, we discussed last time we met that the state implemented a travel advisory. Since that time, the number of locations has grown substantially. We now have 34 states are involved in the travel advisory, as well as Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. The other thing that's occurred is the state has elected to move forward with having passengers fill out forms and sign certifications that they'll quarantine upon returning. The other change that's occurred since we last talked is that the state has eliminated the option to test once you arrive back in Connecticut as an alternative to quarantine. You can only use a test that was taken 72 hours in a window 72 hours prior to returning. So as you can imagine, that is having a significant impact on traffic here. Just to give you a kind of a sense of what we're dealing with, prior to the pandemic, we had on any given day, on average, about 90 arrivals into the airport. At the start of the pandemic, and once the airlines got into it, our activity level was essentially cut in half. What we're experiencing today, on average, is about 42 arrivals per day. Out of those 42 arrivals, 85% of them are coming from destinations that are impacted under this travel advisory. So you can imagine the difficulty that folks have coming to grips with that, you know, to fly into Connecticut, whether it's leisure, whether it's business, if you have to quarantine and you're unable to obtain a test and ultimately get a negative result from that test prior to coming to Connecticut. Because what's happening in terms of testing, a lot of these areas that have the high virus rates, it's very, very difficult to obtain a test. In most cases, you have to have symptoms before you can be tested. So really, there isn't a whole lot of alternative to quarantine. And you know, we were extremely disappointed that the Department of Public Health moved off what we believe was the original understanding that you could test once you got back to Connecticut, as well as test within the 72 hours. What we're hearing from the airlines is that they are going to continue to pull activity because of the depressed demand. For example, in August, Spirit is going to be dropping about half of the activity that they had, which was already reduced. And now they have further said going into September, they're probably going to operate just Orlando and Myrtle Beach service, but not every day of the week. Southwest, for example, in September has advised us that they're going to drop their Denver, St. Louis, and Orlando service to Saturday only. And that's quite extraordinary, particularly the Orlando service via Southwest to drop to that level of service. JetBlue, while they haven't officially announced, you know, drops from the schedule, what we're observing is every day the West Palm Beach service is being canceled at this point. Now that Puerto Rico has been added to the list, that was really kind of the mainstay of what was left of the JetBlue service. We're expecting that that is going to be substantially impacted. Delta, American, United, they're kind of interesting what they do with the schedule. They have substantially reduced their schedules right from the start of the pandemic, but other than not pulling them out on a formalized basis, but on a kind of day-to-day dynamic basis, they've been canceling a fair amount of activity. So there's no doubt that the travel advisory is having an impact on us. Naturally, we do not know, no one knows how long these destinations are going to stay on this travel advisory, because there's two criteria that a state or Washington, D.C. or Puerto Rico would need to meet to come off the list, is that your positivity rate of testing has to be under 10%, or you have to have less than 1 in 100,000 of population be diagnosed with the virus. So they're difficult things for places to achieve, quite frankly. And as I said, the fact that we can't offer that testing alternative is somewhat of a challenge for us. Now, I know the last time we met, we have identified a lab that is willing to test our employees, test airline employees, and test the general public here at Bradley. We discussed quite a bit whether or not there's any utility in moving forward with that contract, knowing that it can't be used as an alternative. But I think at this point, unless any of the board members object, we will probably still offer that as a service here at the airport, whether or not people want to avail themselves of it. As I said, it's a benefit for us to be able to offer it to our employees, have the ability to test our employees right here at the airport. But the real thing that we were after was offering that as a service to use as an alternative to quarantine. So now it will be, simply be offered as a service to the general public that if you're interested in the test, you can obtain a test here at Bradley. So that really kind of covers, where we're at and what we're dealing with in terms of, some of the activity level here at the airport. I'll just finish by saying before, I think Tony can open it up for questions. If you went back to the height of the pandemic, we were down 98%. For most of the month in June, on any given day, we were able to cut that to only being down 70 to 75%. What we are seeing, unfortunately, now that the travel advisory is taking hold, and the further you get into the travel advisory, the more we suspect it's going to hurt activity levels. Because keep in mind, when the travel advisory was announced on June 24th, people already had tickets in hand, they already had hotel reservations, and people would have lost money if they canceled. So a lot of people went forward with their plans. But as people now proactively and look forward to booking, they're going to take that into consideration. And knowing that the only cities we serve that aren't directly impacted are Philadelphia, Detroit, and Denver at this point, it's a challenge because there's certainly not a whole lot of leisure travel that's going to go to Philadelphia and Detroit. And also, I think what you got to consider is those three cities that aren't directly impacted are significant connecting points for us throughout the country. So you still probably do have a fair amount of the folks on those flights coming in that will still be subject to this travel advisory. The Department of Public Health has set up a presence here at the airport. They are positioned right at the bottom of the escalator, so they are interacting with folks as they're exiting the airport. Based on a suggestion that we push very hard with them, they have automated the process, so you can fill out your health forms online prior to arriving at the airport. That has streamlined a lot of the activity here at the airport. In fact, the people that are looking for manual forms, relatively small number of folks coming through, but according to the Department of Public Health, they are getting a fair number of forms coming in. I think it's very difficult for them to judge exactly what percent they're at in terms of compliance, but I think it was on Tuesday, I think they reported that since they started collecting the forms last Friday, they had collected 5,000 travel forms that come in. So we are expecting that it is going to stay in place for a while and that we're going to continue to be impacted. So I don't know if there are any particular questions on any of that before we move into the action items.
Any questions for Kevin?
Kevin, are the New York and New Jersey airports feeling the same pressure and or Rhode Island?
Certainly, you know, as we track the numbers of the competing airports, the New York airports are down similar percentages to what we're down. So I'm assuming they are experiencing that same level of impact. You know, the recovery that we were experiencing, you know, has essentially leveled off. And we're seeing the same percentages out of New York. Massachusetts is going to start enforcing a travel quarantine. I believe it is next week. Kind of had a loose quarantine in place up until now. You know, they asked people to quarantine, but they weren't really enforcing it. I'm not too sure that they're going to start with certifications and health forms up in Logan, but they have, you know, indicated that they are going to be a little bit more forceful about it. That's really the best information that we have at this point.
Thank you.
Any other thoughts or questions? Well, if not, let's take a look at the resolution that I presume all of you have received. It's 2020-12. Have you all received it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Great. So, and I presume had a chance to read it. So, is there any of these whereases? Do we want to discuss them in greater detail, or are we satisfied with the list the way it is?
Just quickly, Tony, you know, again, because of what we're experiencing here in terms of passenger reduction, I think it's important to point out, you know, we have very direct correlations to our revenue coming in that's tied to this lack of passenger activity. And I have Mike on the phone, but just generally, unless you know people have specific questions about the finances, I'll just kind of sum it up that, you know, we took a look at the last quarter of the last fiscal year, which would cover the period, you know, March through June. And what we're realizing is about 50% of the revenue that we originally budgeted we have on the books as accrued. So substantial reduction in terms of what we anticipated in terms of income and revenue coming in. But the important point to point out is that's accrued revenue. As you know, we have deferred just about every class of tenant from having to pay significant amounts of their rent or minimum annual guarantees. So while we've accrued 50% of what we've expected, we suspect we're not going to collect anywhere near that 50%. So while, you know, financially we're in a position right now that we're weathering the storm because we have the CARES Act funding and we have reserves that we can rely on. One of the reasons why you're seeing us put together, you know, the early, you know, remnants of a plan here to start cutting over and above what we've already cut is we want to be prepared in anticipation of this travel advisory and this downturn in activity occurring for a fairly lengthy period of time. Okay, so I don't want to give anybody the impression that tomorrow, you know, we're about to go belly up, you know, from a financial standpoint, but I think we'd all be remiss if we didn't start to put together some elements that could bring us a little cost savings. So, you know, we're looking out for the financial health of the airport, but some of the things that we've put together here are specifically put together to try to avoid layoffs here at the airport. If you look at airports like Philadelphia, for example, they just announced that in the absence of any financial assistance coming from the government, they're anticipating laying off 20% of their staff. Pittsburgh, just had a conversation with Pittsburgh. They're in their second generation now of offering retirement incentives to reduce headcount. So, again, we're trying to avoid layoffs here, but we've put together a list of items that would be probably the first things we would implement in order to continue to stave off some level of, you know, forced furlough here at the airport. And I'd be happy to go through each one to kind of explain, you know, what they entail.
I don't know if we need to go through all of them. I do have one question though on the eliminating or revising the Bradley International Airport pandemic program, which would save significant funds because you have support from the municipal services available. Have you had a conversation with any of the municipalities yet, or are they supportive of this?
Well, this is the paramedic program. I'm talking about the potential of elimination or scaling back of the program, because we may be able to deal with this just simply through an attrition standpoint. Where this saves money is right now we're providing advanced life support services here at the airport when we're required. We don't have to provide any life support services. We simply have to have service for emergency medical services through mutual aid. And we certainly have that with a number of the municipalities. In fact, what does occur in terms of the paramedic program, we don't transport here at the airport. So we do rely on the municipal services to transport. So when you do that, you know, typically they're providing that level of service. So it's a combination of things. The fact that we're not required to provide that level of medical service here at the airport, along with the fact that we do have the ability to rely on the local municipalities for those transport services, would allow us to eliminate this program if we choose to go in that direction. We will, once the board signs off on this, hopefully, have those conversations naturally with the municipality. I mean, it's similar to some of the other things that we suggested, that, you know, we wanted the board concurrence to go in this direction. We're going to have to sit down and have some conversation with our unions as well.
Doug, I have a question.
Mike.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned and with some of the language that we have in the proposed resolutions about, you know, drastic decreases, suppressing any growth, unsustainable revenue reductions, plunging passenger traffic, slashed capital spending, drastic steps. I mean, this is pretty, could be regarded as inflammable type of language here. So I think we need to be somewhat careful about that. And I do have concern about the measure that you brought up, Tony. If we cut back our paramedic program, or the other firefighting efforts and start to rely more on municipal support, have we talked with any safety folks or any outside specialists, you know, with regard to, are we putting anything at danger here that we got to be careful about? And I'd like to try to balance that off against, if we went to the other extreme, what could we do? What could really help us? I mean, could we try to convince some authority that we should be able to administer tests right at the airport upon arrival, folks, and get results within, you know, a few hours? I don't know what kind of cost would be involved. I don't know if it's even possible with the demand these days. I just don't want to go overboard with this resolution here. If we can go another way and solve the problem, even if it requires money from other sources in order for us to get an increased level of testing ability and reporting ability. So
maybe I could jump in. I think that it's important to point out that we're asking for the board to sign off on these things if we determine it to be necessary. We're not saying that tomorrow we're going to implement these things. We want to be in a position where we have the ability to pull the trigger if we find it necessary for financial reasons here at the airport. So I think that's important to point out. I think on some of the other points that you brought up, Mike, I also think it's important that everything that is being proposed here still keep us very much in compliance with FAA regulations for firefighting here at the airport. As I said, we are not required to provide paramedic service. All of our firefighters are EMT trained, right? So they have that level of emergency medical ability that would continue in place. What you're talking about is providing a basic level of life support versus advanced level of life support. We're not required to provide that medical service here. We do have an obligation to have mutual aid in place. That's what the FAA would ask you to do, and we have certainly all of that in place. The firefighting component, I think what you may be referring to is what's referred to as the airport index change. Okay. Airports are classified by index based upon the size aircraft that regularly operate at the airport. In fact, it's based upon the length of the largest aircraft that operates here on average 5 times per day. We are currently maintaining a staffing level at Index D. We're not required to be in Index D. We're required to be in Index C. Okay, so what we would propose to do is drop from Index D to Index C, and what that allows us to do is respond to an emergency here with one less fire vehicle than we routinely do. If you look at the numbers of staff that we have, most of the time we would still remain Index D. We have enough staff to do that. But what we're trying to accomplish here is at those times where we would have to bring people in on overtime to maintain Index D, why not be dropped down to Index C levels? And that's all we're required to be at under that regulation. Just to kind of give you a sense, airports here in New England, we are the only airport that maintains Index D. We have Logan at Index E. He has an Echo. And then every other airport here in New England is already at Index C. It's something that was just carried over from many, many years ago when there were larger sized aircraft operating at Bradley. That Bradley was at Index D, it's never dropped Index D.
Okay, so then we're not in any way cutting back on what we may have agreed or what has been in practice with regard to our assets being utilized by municipalities for assistance with their problems. I mean, is there
Yeah, we have mutual aid agreements that we have signed. I mean, naturally, it's just like the municipality. It's based upon, you know, the respective organization to be available to respond at that particular time. So we would still be the mutual aid commitments that we talked about. We'd still be responsible for our own structural firefighting here at the airport. Yeah, those things don't change. What we're talking about in terms of an index change is simply the response to an aircraft incident here at the airport. Instead of responding with three trucks, we'd be allowed to respond with two if we didn't have three trucks available. Okay. In terms of the paramedic program, again, that is an elimination or an alteration of a program that we're not required to have to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I would foresee is if we did go down that road, if we found it necessary, we would probably still provide paramedic service. It would be a similar thing. If we had a paramedic that was on duty, that was fully qualified, we'd continue to provide the service. If we didn't have the paramedic available, then we wouldn't provide paramedic service. One of the things we do have to check is if we have the ability you know, to kind of be in and out of paramedic service. And I don't know, Jim Campbell, if you're on the line, Jim, maybe you could speak to that point a little bit better. We may be required, correct, either you're fully providing paramedic service or not.
Well, I don't think the details are, I don't think the details are critical, Kevin. I think you've answered the concept appropriately, and that's fine. Just to go back to your original point, however, well, yeah, we're not pulling the trigger on any of these things in terms of actual doing them. The board is, however, pulling the trigger because we are giving the authority away to management to enact any one of these things whenever they feel it's important. So it is important for us to be very comfortable with that. And if there is an alternative that we could put into play, even if it meant we'd have to go and ask for money somewhere, perhaps from the state, which, you know, doesn't exactly have a whole lot of it either. But if there's some way we could have a real key anti-quarantine type of approach where we could do testing of people arriving here and get results promised within, you know, several hours, say, as opposed to 5 days or 7 days or 9 days, something that could be regarded as a positive by the traveling public and by the airlines and by the state of Connecticut, I think that that could be a winner for us.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tony and I have been discussing this, and we have approached the governor's office. We're waiting to see if they're willing to schedule a meeting to sit down and discuss this, because I do think that would be a very viable option. I mean, to give travelers the ability to avoid the quarantine allows them to travel, particularly if you could offer the testing service here at the airport. But for whatever reason, which unfortunately the Department of Public Health has not been 100% clear why they will not honor a test that was taken in Connecticut, because my way of thinking, and I'm not a medical person, but my way of thinking, a test obtained here in Connecticut is far better than a test that was obtained in hour 72 of, you know, of the period prior to coming to the airport, right? Because you can get a test in hour 72 and still be hanging out wherever you want in Dallas for the next 71 hours. You know, we've tried to frame it to the Department of Public Health as to how can you tell someone an hour before they got on the plane and took a test that that test is valid, but an hour after you got off the plane, the test isn't. It makes absolutely no sense. And I think if we can push home that point, I think it goes a long way towards allowing people that option to continue to fly if they know, hey, I can get the test when I fly into Bradley. I have not been able to make any headway with the Department of public health or the chief operating officer of the state on this point. I've had this conversation, and they have categorically said that they will not consider that at this point without any clear understanding as to why. So Tony has reached out to the governor's office, and we are attempting to have a conversation with the governor's office to talk through this point. I would, and again, just throw out my opinion on this, I would be very cautious about accepting assistance from the state. Number one, the state, I don't think, is in any position to provide any level of assistance. But if they did, keep in mind, we have worked very hard over the past 8 years to maintain our independence as a quasi-public agency. The minute you start accepting state assistance, along come the strings that come with state assistance, and I think we need to be careful about that.
Well, I don't disagree with that whatsoever. It's just that I go back to my original premise that the language of these resolutions is pretty tough, and it sounds pretty dire, and so we sort of are ringing the bell one way or the other, and I'm just trying to explore other ways of doing it, but I've had my say. Thank you.
Tony, I have a question. It's Karen, but I can wait my turn. I just want to let you know.
No, go ahead, Karen. Go ahead.
I just, in regard to the paramedic piece, have we discussed this with the fire service at Bradley? Has this been a discussion with them? Is this catching them off guard? I know, when there was the accident a few months ago, it really underscored just how critical they are to the airport. And so I just wanted to understand what the conversation with the fire service at Bradley is looking like in terms of understanding whether this is the best way to move forward.
Good question.
We did not want to have conversations at this point until we discussed it with the board to see if this is something the board even wants to consider at this point. But, as I said earlier, on these three items, because there are three items that could potentially affect the fire department here, we're talking about the index change, we're talking about a potential schedule adjustment within the fire department and the paramedic program, that we would intend to sit with the union to discuss this prior to anything we implemented. But naturally, we did not want to start advancing those conversations until we had a sense of where the board wanted to go.
So I guess, Kevin, this is Glenn Thames. So to that point, and to some of the comments that were made relative to just the rhetoric, the tone, I just wonder if the conversations haven't totally been had or started or kind of evaluated. I just wonder if it makes sense in the resolution to, I think we do need to some extent sound the alarm, because it is what it is, right? This is the reality. I think everybody knows what's happening in the travel industry, and specifically with states such as Connecticut that are instituting these orders, and there's consequences with that, right? And so I think we all have to recognize that, but I wonder if a part of the language is like that we are enabling you as an executive director to explore these options, recognizing that, again, we're not instituting these tomorrow, but there's further diligence that needs to happen, there's further evaluation that needs to happen, but these are the options on the table.
That was my concern. I would feel more. So my thinking, if I'm not wrong on this, is this is a discussion. These are options and ideas, and understandably so. But it's not necessarily moving forward in a particular direction. It's exploring the conversation, because I'm uncomfortable making a decision without having a conversation with these really critical parties.
Well, Kevin, do you want to respond to that, or shall I?
I'll certainly let you respond to it. I mean, again, I don't want to mislead people. Of course, we would be, having a conversation with our employees, and in particular with the union on these items. schedule change. For example, we're required under the collective bargaining agreement to sit down and discuss the implications of a schedule change with them, right? The index, yeah, we have no obligation. We need to meet the FAA requirements. We could change the index tomorrow here at the airport. We don't need union concurrence with the change in index. And the paramedic program, of course, we would have a conversation simply because of the history of the program here at the airport. But again, let's face it, whenever you're going to start changing, you know, programs that have been put in place here at the airport that do have staffing implications, you're probably going to get a negative reaction. Let's not kid ourselves, right? But what I'd like folks to understand, we're looking at these things in an effort to avoid layoffs, right? We don't want to have any forced terminations here at the airport if the finances continue to go in the direction that they're going in. Right? So that's what we're at.
Well, I think that's an important point, Kevin. I know it's difficult to know this, but what is a potential time frame with the reductions such as they are? When could we potentially be looking at having to have layoffs?
Well, I think there are certain things that make sense to do right up front, just from an efficiency standpoint and, you know, a preservation of as much capital as possible. You know, for example, I mean, there's three other things on the list that we haven't talked about. To offer a voluntary severance program, I think, you know, the operative word there being voluntary, if we have staff that feel by offering level of severance, they're willing to terminate voluntarily their employment, why not offer that to employees and see who would be interested in a program like that? We're also suggesting that we promote the voluntary schedule reduction program. That's a program that's already in place statewide, that employees who elect, if the organization can allow them to do it, can move from full-time status to part-time status and reduce payroll that way. And then the third item that I think makes sense for us to move forward with immediately would be the suspension of the 139 certificate at Groton New London, which it's estimated that there's approximately $250,000 savings there. I'm not saying that we would eliminate that certificate for now and evermore, but suspend the certificate and look to reactivate it at the time, you know, we had the potential for some viable commercial service at Groton. But in this environment, I do not see commercial service being established at Groton. You know, we're trying to hold on to what we have here at Bradley. Airlines are not going to start opening new stations, so why continue to spend the money that's associated with maintaining the 139 certificate? So those three items, I'd say you'd immediately do. Potentially the index change here at the airport as well, because we're providing, you know, levels of staffing over and above what we're required to provide. That doesn't mean you start, you know, terminating staff. It means in those cases where we have scheduled staff to meet Index C versus Index D, we move forward with the staffing level for Index C because that's what we're required to maintain. I think the other two items, yes, certainly require a level of conversation with not only the fire union, but also to a certain extent on the paramedics, that require a conversation with the local municipalities here as well.
Thank you.
Any other thoughts or questions for Kevin? Let me try and summarize where I think we are. There's certainly some concern about the language in the various not in all of them, but in some of the resolutions. And I think this is a time to, especially since it has the potential of affecting some people's work or lives, that we need to be as sensitive as we possibly can with the use of the language. And then I'll give you an example that it sounds like it could be read that when you, the second one, absent revision, the state of Connecticut, Connecticut's travel order. It sounds like we might be, that could be read as if we're blaming the state. And I know that's not the intent here, but look at the other area here, and Kevin, I think, clarified that, is the discussion with the unions will, by contract and by mere good sound management, will obviously have some probably long and detailed discussions with the various employee groups. Kevin, look at these Zoom meetings, or this is not Zoom, whatever it is, they're not difficult to set up. Would you be happy with maybe postponing any action today until perhaps Monday or Tuesday? And maybe you could revisit the language and the resolutions and make it clearer that this is action that's only going to be taken if necessary. But we're responsible for having a plan, which I think all of us could agree with. So would that work, Kevin, or what? Oh no, you're out of town next week, though, aren't you?
I mean, hey, if the board wants us to go back and revisit language, we can certainly do that. But you know, I guess as I look at it, I mean, if the board is uncomfortable with the strength of the language, let's say it that way, in these whereases, sure, we can cut that back. But I do think it's an accurate reflection of what.
Oh, I agree with you.
You know, when you start talking about any business that has a drop of, let's take our best day in June, 70% of its revenue, you have some challenges, right? The fact that we have reserves, I feel good about, but we also don't want to be cutting, into those reserves if we don't have to, for a lot of different reasons. But we could certainly scale back that language. I mean, if the board wants to, change it, that you're directing us to explore these options. I don't have any problems with that as well. I mean, if the board, would feel more comfortable with us having a conversation with the fire department before you voted to specifically give the ability to introduce these things, certainly we could do that. As I said, though, I let's not kid ourselves. You're not going to get a real positive reaction anytime you're looking to make adjustments to things. Yes, we're going to try to press home the point to all of our employees. What we're trying to avoid here is forced terminations down the road. I hope we never get to that point. We certainly don't want to get to that point. But that's why we're looking at these things. But if the board's more comfortable changing the language to, we can cut back, the tone of the whereases if you want. And if you want us to change the language that you're not delegating the authority to do this, but what you're asking us to do is to investigate it, we can certainly do that. But again, what I would anticipate is trying to do that very, very quickly and coming back to the board quickly, because I do think we want to be prepared to start putting things online if we have to. Because keep in mind, some of these things, they require notice, right? If you're going to start changing schedules, you can't just say, oh, tomorrow I change your schedule. In fact, we have obligations under the agreement. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe off the top of my head, we have to give at least 30 days notice. So you already have a month right before you could institute things, if in fact we chose to do that. We also want to continue to see how things play out under the travel advisory. I think we're correct in terms of the assumptions we've made about what the impact is going to be in the future. I think we're correct in the assumptions we're making about how long it's going to take for some of these states to come off the list, but, you know, we can also continue to monitor that for the next couple of weeks. This is to prepare ourselves, not if it isn't that we do something tomorrow.
Well,
yeah, this is, if I could, Tony, this is Madge. I agree, maybe we can tone down the tenor of the language, some of the adjectives, but I think the intent still needs to hold. I don't agree with just saying that, you know, we agree to explore these things. I mean, I think we should be delegating this to Kevin and the team. These are horrendous times. And there is no doubt that most, if not all, of these measures are going to be necessary. I mean, I see it obviously in my business, you know, immediately. So I think we do need to be clear for all people's sakes that this isn't just a maybe, right? These things are going to have to be done.
I concur with Madge. It's Brett. And Tony, did you say that you were going to get a meeting or a phone call with the governor?
Well, I've been back and forth. I've been promised a meeting. I thought it was going to occur on Wednesday. It hasn't. Here we are on Thursday. But I believe that we will get a meeting. And the question, I think the stumbling block is probably Department of Health, the acting director. If you follow her activities, it tends to follow what New York is doing, what her decisions that is. But I don't think anyone here agrees or disagrees with the fact that we have to have a plan. I think we have to have a plan. Definitely will push harder at for the governor's ear to get on this. I think what Kevin has suggested here is an excellent plan. And actually, quite frankly, unless I'm mistaken, it would put Connecticut, the Bradley, out front from a lot of other airports by having a test as soon as you get off the plane and have the results within 24, 36 hours. So,
I
think
I agree with you, Tony. And we have, I think, a couple of people relatively close to the governor, at least in his cabinet. And I guess I would ask if you would ask your boss if he would pick up the phone and call Tony, because I think it's really important that the governor understand what's going on here. I don't want him to be surprised. And I think it's important that he realize that there are some real legitimate things that occur when other departments are handling things in certain ways.
This is Joe. Can I weigh in?
Sure.
From my end, okay, and I've had a lot of conversations with Kevin, and I'm on a constant every week calling with the seven states, and we're coordinating all of our efforts. And I think Kevin has been judicious in his choice of language. He has had a very open discussion with the governor on what some of the actions that are taking place are causing. So if you turn around and take a look at it from the standpoint that the governor went from where it was a voluntary program to trying to make it even stronger in terms of the messaging and the fact that we keep adding states to it, the governor has pretty much made it as clear as he's willing to as to how he feels about people coming here from these states that are causing the problems. They're not causing the problems, they're having an additional problem of beyond what we're having. I know that when we opened up the CVS testing site down in New Haven for all the people on the rail system and all state employees, we were able to get results in 15 minutes, and yet that was the first of all of the sites that they shut down on us. So we went back to a different way of doing it, and I don't question the Department of Health on it. I just know that was a decision that they had gone to make. I liked the fact that when Kevin came up with an idea that you could have testing done here, that the results could come back in 24 to 36 hours, because it then it makes it clear that you don't have to quarantine for 14 days. But I was on a call last night where New York is now doing it at 19 airports, and they're telling people getting off the plane, if you do not fill out the form, you are subject to a $2,000 fine for not filling out the form. So the Northeast, we're getting pretty aggressive about it. Massachusetts shocked me by telling that out of all the car traffic that's coming into the state right now, last week, out of 500,000 cars that paid toll by plate, 10% of them came up from Florida, and they're very concerned about it. I would also say that when I looked at the language in the end, it says that it directs the executive director, if he determines the fiscal situation requires further intervention, and I am comfortable that we're not going beyond the minimum that we're required to go and do. So I just want to weigh in from that end. I have reached out to the governor's office on this. I know Tony's reached out to the governor's office. I can't tell you that from my perspective that we're going to get any further clarification at this moment in time, but I will continue to press that issue.
Thanks, Joe.
And this is Glenn James. I will follow up on these points as well.
Very good.
I go back to the resolution. I support it as written, and I think there are other, I'd like to hear from others, because if there is enough support for it based on the conversation that we've had, then I think we should act on
it. Okay, well, what do you think about, I mean, Kevin, do you, where do you stand? I mean, do you think we have the opportunity here to maybe make the resolution this firm, absolutely firm, but maybe using a little bit of softer language?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to take the time right now to go through it. I mean, I already started adjusting it just sitting here listening to some of the conversation, but.
Well, you know, it's not that long. It's not that long. We perhaps should take the time to really adjust it with you.
So maybe the first whereas is, whereas the COVID-19 pandemic has caused significant passenger decreases at Bradley Airport and will result in substantially reduced revenues for the foreseeable future. Would anybody have any problem changing it that way? I mean, it's trying to be factual, right? We could say, whereas the second whereas the state of Connecticut travel order is likely to continue for the foreseeable future.
Yes, I think that's better.
That works. The
third whereas, I don't really see the need to change it. I mean, it's just a factual statement that you can't sustain this level of revenue drop for an extended period of time.
I'm comfortable with that. Anybody else?
I agree.
Yep.
Fourth whereas I would change to whereas due to dropping passenger traffic and airline operations, aviation fuel tax revenues are expected to be expected to reduce for the foreseeable future. All right, so we're taking out the word plunging.
Got it.
Taking out the word threatened, the changing threatened to expected.
That's good.
The next whereas, I really see the need to change. I mean, it's a factual statement.
Okay.
The next one, I would simply take out the word drastic. Read, whereas the CAA has already achieved significant across-the-board spending cuts, institute a hiring freeze, take out the word slashed as well, reduce capital spending, and taking other steps to reduce costs. All right.
I think that's lovely. Well then.
All right. And then I think the rest of them are just, you know, statements of fact that, you know, if you did do these things, it would result in reduced costs.
Yeah, I agree.
So then the big question becomes, is this something now that you're delegating to the staff or something that you're asking the staff to research and then come back to you before we move forward with anything?
What's your pleasure on that, folks?
I think we should delegate.
I would agree.
I agree.
Anybody else?
I agree.
Are we all in agreement with that? Yeah. Good. Good. So then I think we have a working document here, Kevin. So if there aren't any further changes or comments or questions, I think we should take a vote on this to delegate the responsibility to the administration to follow through in accordance with our own guidelines and rules and regulations and so on.
I'll move.
Seconded.
Further discussion? There being none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed, so carried.
Matt Kelly's recusal. Tony, just so you know, Matt Kelly's recusal.
Oh, thanks, Matt. So what else? What's next here? I think that's it, isn't it?
That's it.
Yeah, Kevin or Alex, can you just send out the updated draft, the updated final resolution to the board after?
Yes. Yeah, we'll make those changes and we'll send it out.
So if there's no further discussion, a motion is in order for adjournment.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Mike. Second?
Second.
There being no discussion, all in favor? Aye. Opposed, so carried. So thank you, Paul. This is sad that we're at this point, but it's important that we took this step. So thank you and have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.